Today with Joe Nash on Live 95.
I'm joined in the studio to start this Monday's show by Niamh Horrigan, who has been selected as the Labour candidate for this constituency, including Limerick of Ireland South, in the upcoming European elections. A lot of elections happening, including the European elections, and the date of polling is Friday, the 7th of June. And Niamh's candidacy, she's a Limerick woman, of course, was officially launched in Limerick on Friday afternoon, and you are welcome to the studio. Good morning.
Thanks very much, Joe.
To you.
So, good to be back here.
You're pretty busy.
Yes.
With everything else that you were doing. Of course, well-known sociologist and academic with Mary Immaculate College, and well-known indeed from the media in general. So what inspired you to have a go at Europe and for Labour?
Well, I suppose, Joe, as you know probably better than a lot of people, like I've been working in higher education for 25 years, a lot of my research focused on inequality, social exclusion, an awful lot of it was on Limerick, as you know. And, you know, the goal always when you're doing that kind of research is to try and feed through changes on the other end. Do you know what I mean? And to, for me, that was always the reason I did all the media stuff. People say, well, you know, not all the academics are in the media, but it certainly meant that you could filter changes through quicker if you're out there and trying to push your message. I suppose the frustration for me is that that process was very slow. Even if you look at, say, the study I did in Limerick, which highlighted the issue of children being groomed into criminality, and that was the first study really which provided evidence of that. It took about 10 years for that actually to be reflected in legislation. It's great it is, but that was a very long and very hard road, and of course there was a whole lot of other people involved aside from me by the time it got over the line. But I suppose from somebody like me who comes from a political family, so as many people may know, my father was a Fine Gael councillor here in the city, former mayor of Limerick, Michael Harrigan, and my sister is current Green Party TD. So I suppose coming from a political family, you do see that politicians at all levels, actually, local, national and European, they can make a difference when they want to and when they push hard for change, and it does come quicker than it does for the academics. So I suppose I always had it in my head that I would go at some point, and I suppose this was, I felt the point, the time was right. Why Europe, I suppose, is really that my background in terms of my teaching and research, I taught a lot on European societies and European sociology and globalization and all that kind of stuff. And I feel I bring an expertise to that, that, you know what I mean, you wouldn't necessarily have it in any other areas. You know, I've lived and worked in France, and so I kind of feel like I have a feel for it, and I would be of some value in that space. I also think that, you know, often we don't understand how much Europe can be. If people always say to me, because one of my campaign priorities is housing, and people always say, well, what can Europe do about housing? But actually, Europe is a significant part of the housing problem. We need it to be part of the solution because of the spending rules, because of the way it impedes us in targeting vulture funds, and also in targeting short-term letting platforms in terms of transparency, taxation, all kinds of other things. So, you know, I suppose I have that understanding from that level that I feel I bring to the table. And finally, then, why Labour? I suppose those issues around inequality have always been to the forefront of Labour, and I just felt it was the right fit for me. And I am delighted with the support that I've got from Neighbour Lashley and, of course, from my colleagues here on the ground.
Presumably you were approached by Labour, were you?
Well, I was actually, I've been a member of the Labour Party for a number of years. I've been constituency chair here in Limerick for a number of years. So in that sense, I suppose it was just them coming to me, but as somebody who was already in the fold, not somebody who was outside the fold. And in that sense, maybe I suppose at some level I joined, I always had it in my head that I would go, you know.
So growing up then, I mean, you mentioned it was a political household, but clearly you were all of independent mind.
We are, very much. I mean, Christmas dinner is interesting in our house, Joe. People always say that to me, yeah.
I'd imagine, yes. And was that always the case?
It was. Well, I suppose, and you know, in fairness, you know, I used to think it was exceptional, but the older I get, the more I realize so many Irish families at dinner time or at Sunday dinner time, when they all get together, politics is on the table as much as the grub. And we were very much of that kind of, I suppose, persuasion. And, you know, we would have different beliefs and different kind of approaches to things. But to be fair, I mean, you know, my dad provided a great role model of public service when he was in the council. He worked a lot with organisations organisations like St. Munchin Centre down in Killeely. And, you know, so he did walk the walk and talk the talk. And in that sense, so there's a commonality at that level. I have to say it, which I think there is at a lot of levels, you know, that there are at the big picture level a lot of differences between political parties. But we know here on the ground here in Limerick, there are a lot of public representatives who do work hard and do things for people across the board, really.
Now, MEPs will, from time to time, complain about the media in Ireland and say that we, in general, are part of the problem here in communicating what they do to the voters back at home, where it can feel quite distant. Although they will say that the local media, in general, is pretty good.
Better for
facilitating the national. And is that not a big challenge?
It's a massive challenge. I think one of the challenges is that often, you know, if we think at the national stage in particular, you know, if you look at what's going on in Fine Gael at the moment, or what's going on in health or housing, whatever, those are the things that tend to set the news agenda. And the kind of changes that happen in Europe tend to be slow and steady, and they happen over months. And often it's very difficult at national level to make clear why actually, like, for instance, the European spending rules are being agreed in Brussels this month. The European spending rules have had an enormous impact on the capacities of local authorities to direct build housing. Always when people talk about housing, they say, if you look at Ireland in the 30s or the 50s, local councils built houses. So therefore, first-time buyers weren't competing with councils. The spending rules are a massive reason why local councils don't direct build houses. And the spending rules that are potentially being renegotiated this month, the way they're shaping up at the moment, they could actually be worse in terms of preventing that kind of what we would call social public spending than the previous set was. But I mean, and I suppose I think that's really...
And just to understand, is that about the involvement of the state in markets?
Yeah. So it's about how much spending the state can have on the books in terms of how much money it's spending. And one of the really worrying things about the current iteration of spending rules that are on the table is that it kind of pits green spending against social spending, which is really, really negative. So I do think particularly for Limerick as a city where, you know, we have such great communities in places where they were built on public and social housing, and they're fantastic communities. Do you know what I mean? And loads of people in Limerick have grown up in those communities and said, why do our current generation of children not have the same opportunity to have that kind of experience? Europe is part of the problem, Joe.
Now, people aware of your background, as you've highlighted, and your dad was a former mayor of Limerick City in its more current iteration, might think, oh, well, and including the work that you've done academically on Limerick, why aren't you standing for the directly elected mayor?
I suppose, well, first of all, it's a very crowded field. Second of all, and I suppose I have to be straight up with this, I have a concern about the way in which the legislation is framed, that I think with the DEM, you know, I think they need to have more control in terms of their chairmanship of the council, for want of a better word, more control over budgeting, more control over HR. I think there's some wonderful candidates in the field. Labour will be running a candidate. But I do think it's going to be enormously challenging for whoever. I suppose the one thing we have to remember, Joe, is Limerick is the test case for the DEM. A lot of national bodies, like, for instance, the National Transport Authority, are very reluctant to cede power to something like the DEM. But if we look at places where the directly elected mayor model has worked, it has been where they've had significant powers. And if we look at the original report that Tim O'Connor's group did on the DEM, they did suggest significantly more powers than the current model of the DEM and the legislation. So I have concerns about that. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But in a sense, I think for me, Europe is a much clearer path of what you can do. The other point, I suppose, and it's important for people to be aware, that often, we look at the Dáil and we see political parties and we see independents. And, you know, to be honest with you, political parties always dominate the Dáil. Even if independents can get do deals and have their say, at the end of the day, the agenda is set by the big political parties. The European Parliament is just the same. And the two biggest groups are the EPP, which is Fine Gael part of, and the Socialists and Democrats, which currently Labour and is part of and has always been part of. And because we've had no Labour MEP in Ireland, not just in Ireland, said we've had no voice in the second largest group in the European Parliament. And the European Parliament is getting more and more powerful in terms of electing the president, signing off on the budget, a whole range of issues. So it's a loss to us not to have a Labour MEP.
Now, people in Limerick City particularly would be aware that over the decades, Labour has been a strong force in politics. Are you concerned nationally about where Labour stands right now?
I think there is a massive job of work, Joe, in terms of rebuilding. Obviously, Labour took a huge hit coming out of the 2011-2016 government, and there's still a process of rebuilding. It has to be said, though, in Limerick, and indeed a lot of places in Ireland South, Labour is very strong on the ground. We have three fantastic and extremely hard working councillors in the city, and the warmth that generates on the ground when you go around and knock on doors, you get that back straight away. And that is the case in a lot of other places in Ireland South, in Cork, in Waterford, in Kerry, etc. So it's really, and I suppose that's one of the things I feel Labour has a strength in, and that it is the oldest political party in the state. There are a huge number of members of the Labour Party in Ireland South. There's a very strong cohort of councillors, and essentially I suppose the challenge for me is to build on their hard work and the goodwill that they have generated to try and deliver a seat for the party in the European elections.
And you're very well aware that Limerick is a very strong academic and student city as well,
sure,
with the various institutions, and that has many positives. What are the challenges, do you think?
So the biggest challenge, Joe, is housing, massively. I mean, as many people know, I'm registrar and deputy president of Mary Eye. And certainly, I have never seen such a change in the student experience. And I've been in higher ed for 25 years, as I have in the last 10 years. And that, and I mean, there are issues around how, you know, budgets and universities and capital infrastructure and all of that. But nothing, all of that pales in comparison in terms of the lack of availability of affordable student accommodation. The amount of students commuting now, the amount of students couch surfing, you've never seen anything like it. And it totally, like, Joe, we both went to college in the 90s. Neither of us went to college in Limerick, and we both lived away and had the crack and had joined the societies, had the student experience. That's completely different. My son is in UL at the moment. And he was saying, you know, even if you wanted to live on campus, so many of his friends, first of all, he chose to live at home because of the housing crisis. He originally thinking of going to Cork. And I said to him, look, to be honest with you, love, if you go down to Cork, you're bringing the housing crisis into your life. And I'm saying this as somebody who's literally in my working life dealing with it every day of the week. So he chose to stay in Limerick for that reason, as are an awful lot of other kids. But there's so many kids who don't even have that option of staying in their hometown, and they're commuting, they're staying with friends. It's very much eroded the quality of the student experience, Joe. And it's frustrating because it's not something at one level that really higher education can solve itself. It's part of this much bigger macro issue, which of course is affecting so many things, including recruitment to the public sector. I mean, on the flip side, you know, we have huge concerns about teacher supply at the moment. And one of the reasons for that is young teachers, who we do fantastic job training young teachers here in Limerick. And they're so attractive that people are coming from all over the world to recruit them. And our schools are then struggling with teacher supply issues because of that. So it's a much bigger issue than what higher ed can solve.
And you can certainly see, I mean, even parking, for example, you know, when you see a lot of ends on cars around town, it is because students are commuting, aren't they? And they have to find somewhere to park their car for the day before going, driving maybe many kilometres again and back in the next day. And it's just not helpful, is it?
It's not fair. And it also, of course, it's going against our climate policy, which is all about getting people out of their cars. And it's because I have this just transition piece in my campaign. And one of the things I would be saying, Mary Eye is a very good test case for this, because we draw so many of our students from kind of rural areas. It's, you know, we have a very strong rural cohort in Mary Eye, as you can see, because we won the Fitzgibbon Cup. But essentially for that cohort of students, there isn't a public transport alternative that will get them to college and get them home. If you're doing an intense course like a teacher training course where you have to be there 5 days a week, and that's the challenge, you know. It's everyone gets the climate, but like, if you want to get people out of their cars, there has to either be housing that's affordable on site, or there has to be a decent public transport alternative.
A couple of final questions. We will have some debates around Europe as well. There's a lot going on, a lot of elections happening. There's even a referendum in the middle of that, which we haven't even gone near on Friday the 7th of June as well. But it's a very large constituency.
It's Ireland, 10 counties, Joe.
It's 10 counties. Yeah. So presumably you have a national profile. You would see that as a plus. But also, the fact that you are Limerick and Limerick based, how does that factor into it?
Well, it's significant in the sense that the Midwest, and by that I mean not just Limerick, but also Clare and Tip, has not had an MEP for 10 years since Alan Kelly essentially went into the Dáil. And that is a massive loss to the region. And actually, if you look at the current cohort of MEPs in Ireland South, they're all based that kind of Cork, Terry direction, and then you've Mick Wallace over in Wexford. So we've nobody in this part of the region. And it's such a loss in terms of EU funds, in terms of having the Midwest on the radar. I mean, in a sense, I think we often didn't realise what a loss it was, because often, you know, if I mean, it's very, you know, when Michael Noonan was Minister for Finance, he played a role in kind of directing EU funds into the Midwest. That's documented, there's no doubt about it. But since he has stepped out of politics now, we don't have anybody at that senior ministerial level. I think the lack of an MEP in the Midwest has been a huge, huge loss. So it's really important, just from a regional point of view. We all know, like with the airport, with regional development, with UL, you know, we have a very sophisticated regional development model here in the Midwest. We play senior hurling and how we do it. But we need voices in Europe to help to do that, because increasingly so much of the funding, so much of the decisions that really matter are being taken at that level.
So on that basis, then, are you thinking of number ones, but you're also thinking of transfers and all of that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the challenge for me, Joe, to be perfectly honest, this is probably, it sounds a bit big-headed, but I actually think I will do quite well on transfers. The challenge for me will be get enough number ones to stay in the game. So that's all I'd be asking people for, is the number one for the Midwest.
And the fact that you are putting your name on a ballot paper, do you see that as part of your future now in general, that very front line of politics?
Yeah, I suppose I do. And I think once you step in, you kind of, you know, you do kind of cross the threshold. And I suppose it's been interesting for me, Joe, as somebody who's often been on media as an academic and an analyst, it's totally different when you're a politician. And once you cross the Rubicon, I'm not sure you can go back. I'm not sure I want to go back, do you know what I mean? Because I think once you're in the game, you're in the game. And a lot of people, I think, have been wary of going into politics recently, particularly women, because it is a very fraught space and it is a difficult space and it can be quite a toxic space at the moment. But I think if we allow that to put us off, then politics becomes much poorer and much more cynical and much, much less for that. So I think it's important to resist that too.
And are you pleased to see the number of female candidates that are emerging in the various elections, including for directly elected mayor?
I think it's so encouraging. And it's great to see women not being put off, despite, it has to be said, a certain amount of barrage you'll get on social media for any female candidate who puts their name forward. It's great to see people just ploughing on anyway. Fair play to them.
Is that hard though? I know it doesn't just apply to women. You know, male politicians get it
they
as well
indeed,
on social media.
Yeah.
But it does seem at a different level when it comes to women.
It is. Yeah, it's a challenge. And I suppose it is a shift for me personally, against somebody who was in the media, who was on certain social media to a certain extent. It's very interesting to look at the kind of gear shift that happens when you step into politics, and you can see why women, what I do think, Joe, is long term, you wonder how long people will sustain careers in politics, you know what I mean, that how long do you have the resilience to deal with that? But also it is a challenge to the social media platforms who are enabling it, you know?
One last question: would you welcome a senior minister in Limerick or in the region this week? Obviously Simon Harris is incoming Taoiseach, and it's certain he's going to do some sort of reshuffle.
Well, I do think that there's a sense at the moment, I mean, if you look at the fact there's a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael Green coalition, we don't have any senior player at the table. That's not a particularly helpful message for that coalition of parties to be sending back to the Midwest, when we have a lot of challenges here and a very vibrant economy that needs a lot of support. So you'd imagine from a strategic point of view he will, but who knows how strategy will play out in Simon Harris's mind.
All right. Well, Niamh Horrigan, who is standing for the Labour Party in Ireland South, which is this constituency in the upcoming European elections, and her candidacy was officially launched in Limerick on Friday afternoon. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Thanks very much, Joe.
Your views, your news, your Limerick Today with Joe Nesh on Live 95.